The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you could join us once again. And before we get started, I just want to do the normal reminder that just because you hear something that sounds interesting on the show today, as with any financial implications, please check with your existing advisors that already know what your unique facts and circumstances are before you take any actions. You don't need any surprises, or at least not unpleasant ones. And if there are some pleasant surprises to be had, hopefully your advisors already understand enough about your facts and circumstances to guide you accordingly. For those of you that may not have advisors currently, you're more than welcome to go to our website at BAPlanner.com, and if you'll look at top right, you'll see a forms link, and if you would click that link and then complete at a minimum the first step one form one client profile for me, I'll be able to ascertain whether we will be able potentially to work with you, and then you could set up a call after you do that. If you'll go to the call link right next to the form link, you'll be able to set up a call where I can discuss specifics about how we might help you achieve your goal and objectives. Last week we had a discussion. We just briefly touched on some articles that I've got out at the Be a Planner Show site, and I wanted to pick up with some of those this week, and then there's been a couple new ones involving Trump's tax, that'd be President Trump, I'm sorry. I don't mean to act like I know him on a first name basis. That's certainly not the case. I like what he's doing so far, so for the most part, and it's good to have somebody with a pulse, a strong pulse, apparently, in the White House now. It's amazing what seems to be getting done, and some of the members of the Dream Team is what I think we ought to be calling them, that have basically volunteered to work for nothing or next to nothing compared to what they might have been able to get doing whatever they were already doing. It's pretty impressive. But in any event, the two things we talked about last week that I think carry over is the budget deficit. Pretty much carries over every week, right, with the current mess that we're in. But, you know, for the first time in the recent past, it seems like we've got some folks at high enough levels in government that actually understand, or saying the right things that show they understand the cliff or the train that we're either getting ready to fall off of, or it's getting ready to run us over. And it gives me hope that maybe we're going to have, hopefully, some seemingly maybe unconventional ways to work our way out of the debt. And I know, you know, Mr. Trump's talked about monetizing some of our country's significant, I mean significant, assets that are not being utilized. And I don't have any way of confirming some of the numbers that I hear bannered about. I know some of them are true. You can rest assured the deficit is as bad as is indicated. If you want to go out to the usdebtclock.org, you can confirm this firsthand. It's bad. $37 trillion would be the number that we are currently seeking to fund. And then if you want to add the unfunded mandate, the things that we've already approved legislatively, and that it's just a matter of getting to the right start point before it'll affect the annual budget, we're over $100 trillion. $37 trillion for the current budgetary cycle. In other words, what are we including that's already occurred? So we've already borrowed it. We're sitting at $37 trillion. And then if we were to have to start funding all of the unfunded mandates that we haven't had to yet, like future years indexing of certain, you know, Social Security, Medicare, maybe defense spending, other spending that we've pretty much already agreed to, but it's not in the current year, it gets much, much worse. And, you know, but one thing I heard just yesterday, and I mean, I've known it had to be a big number, but I heard, I can't remember if it was Mr. Trump that mentioned it. He's on the air now every day. It's wonderful to have that communication. But in any event, someone that's in the know said we have 14,000 unused government buildings. That's astounding. And when you think of the potential impact, were we to be able to lease or sell those buildings? Now, understandably, we got a little problem right now in the commercial real estate space when it comes to office. So it would take a slick, savvy operator like, oh, I don't know, Mr. Trump, probably nobody savvier in the commercial real estate business, to direct an effort to utilize those assets. And I think it would be spectacular if we could convert things that are not currently being utilized to their fullest extent into cash flow. I mean, that's the way we need to deal with the deficit as much as we can. It's not by raising mine and your taxes, although that's coming. I don't see any way around that unless we're truly successful monetizing, and I mean fast. I don't mean in 15 or 20 years. It'll be too late by then to where we need the implications, the inflows of the cash flow that can result. We've got a time bomb ticking, and it's going to explode in sometime late 2028 or 29, likely. Could be as late as 2030. It depends on what happens in the economy coming up over these next 4 or 5 years, and depends on the interest rates that we incur. We've got a scenario where the remaining discretionary part of the budget, that's the piece we can actually argue over. That would be the U.S. aid piece, if you want to put it in real terms or real-time terms, which a lot of that's going away. Let's keep moving. I mean, we haven't identified near enough to avoid the time bomb yet, but if DOGE keeps up at the pace they're going, I have high hopes that we can avoid the 2000, let's just call it 2029, where the bell tolls for us, okay? And if we can't cover 100% of the interest expense on the outstanding treasury debt, that would be the public debt that we have now, and we're working up to a much higher number, things are going to go a bit cattywampus around the world when it comes to the ability to continue to print money. And it's not just for us. Other nations will have a hard time borrowing too. And if you can't cover 100% of the interest on the debt, which is what we're talking about when we say we will have spent through the rest of the discretionary budget, all of the budget would be going, or most of the budget, would be going to cover interest expense. And I say most of the, I'm talking about the discretionary piece that's left. The interest that we now pay annually crossed the $1 trillion mark here for the first time this past September. And it's surpassed the defense expenditure for the, I don't know if it was the first time in history. I think back in World War II, we achieved that status, but that was a little bit different than what we're faced with now. And I would suggest to you that that's when we're going to have a major depression, the likes of which this country's never seen. So, you know, it's critical that we understand. And, you know, I'm seeing prime time news organizations. I noticed on Fox this past week, or this week, they showed the U.S. debt clock on the news channel, not the business channel. They do that from time to time, and they've got an article that is routinely updated for the current status. They've got an article out on FoxBusiness.com where if you click it, it always goes to the latest week's statistics. But in any event, you know, now even the mainstream media gets it. And why do they get it? Because you got the right people. I'm not saying no one in Congress got it. We've referred to House of Representative David Swikert, GOP from Arizona. And Swikert has, I don't know, hundreds of videos on YouTube that bring the receipts, as they say now, as to where we're at, where we've been, and where we're headed. And he gets it, but he doesn't have the access. He can't go into the Oval Office wearing a baseball cap and carrying his three-year-old on his shoulders. And thank goodness that we've got somebody smart that's he's clued in to this topic. And I don't care what else you think about Trump and Elon Musk, this is a white knight riding in to save the day on the U.S. deficit, if we let them. And I'm not saying that it's going to be easy. I'm just saying, are they shedding light like no one else has ever been able to do, because nobody else had either an incentive or the ability to compel change like Trump with Mr. Musk. And, you know, I hear a lot of congressmen now, of course, the ones that are still with their head in the sand and complaining about having their ox gored is the old expression. And you can always tell who they are. They're the ones screaming right now. If you want to know whose ox is getting gored, whose kickbacks are getting discovered, that'd be another way of saying that. And, you know, that's the way that you know is who is getting caught. And I can't just, it's hard to be more excited that maybe we've got a chance to roll back the budget deficit to an extent, or at least get started. And I have a feeling, you know, the $2 trillion goal that Elon Musk has mentioned as being the objective, I don't doubt for a minute that that's achievable, especially after seeing just a little bit that they've discovered, you know, here recently. And I go back further. I look at, used to have a tenant, one of my corporate housing properties here in San Antonio, that was a former DOD active military, and then went to work for a contractor that had to submit budgets every year. And he's the one that told me, because he was involved on his on their company's budget submissions, and he said, "Nathan, if we don't raise our budget 30% every year, we won't get what we asked for last year. And when you think of that across the government, I promise you, it's every department, every agency, every contractor like this guy, that is $2 trillion easily. And I've maintained since right after Trump won the first election or the his first term in office that Trump could cut the U.S. budget by 30% and in his sleep and we'd never miss it. Why? Because it's waste, fraud, and either corruption or inefficiency. I'm not sure. It probably straddles all those three components. But in any event, well, let's go ahead and take our first break and we'll circle back. I want to talk again about what we can do individually that's unique, really, to real estate, private partnerships, and pre-tax retirement accounts that you may have. We want to help you double the amount of retirement funds that you'll have as you get to retirement by explaining to you the path that you've got sitting right in front of you. The timing couldn't be better to think about executing in this context. And you can avoid the tax train altogether if you understand the math metrics behind these options. We'll circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough.
Welcome back with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. That Dolly Parton song is one that I would urge my Democratic friends to take to heart. You know, if they just would understand that, you know, we've got a reason to celebrate just from a budgetary standpoint. You don't have to like Mr. Trump. I understand, you know, there's some of you don't like to win as much as he wins. But, hey, think about your back pocket, your wallet, and how much better off you're going to be as we move through the next 4 years. And in any event, you know, I just pulled up the U.S. debt clock at usdebtclock.org while we were on the break, and I wanted to point out there's a Doge calculator now that's been added up at the top left, and it's clocking along at $94 billion. That's in, what, 3 weeks now? We've managed to find what eventually, once the dust settles, could be actual real savings. Almost $100 billion, and that's peanuts, folks. I mean, we're talking annually right now. We've got a $2 trillion deficit that's projected by the Congressional Budget Office to be, well, at least 10 years. They updated their recent 10-year forecast, I don't know, 3 weeks ago now, I believe, late January, I think the 25th. And it shows, on average, through the year 2035, I believe it's 2.1, maybe $2.2 trillion in deficits. Now, none of that update considers monetization of our significant asset base that's currently generating very little, if any, revenues. And the other thing I would point out on the numbers, you know, when you look at the current almost $37 trillion, U.S. debt clock actually shows it at about $36.5 trillion. What's a few trillion amongst friends, correct? But in any event, approximately $7 trillion of that debt is to other government agencies. So it may not be as bad as you think it is, but it is if it affects you. Like, for instance, we've spent most of the Social Security trust fund, and that goes back to the day. I mean, it's been, I can remember in the early 80s maybe, where Senator Moynihan from New York, a Democrat, used to just rail on his congressional associates about how can we take money, how can we put a piece of paper, an IOU, into the Social Security Trust Fund as we're taking money out of it to fund budgetary components. Well, now all those chickens have come home to roost. And now that trust fund is in deep trouble. It's not going to run out this year. But for those of you that may be like I am, well, we're looking at starting Social Security here in my case, 2 years. It definitely makes you pause and think about, well, gee, should I wait to full retirement age? Or should I go ahead and take what I can get now? If I'm over 62, which I am, and so that's a question I get a lot lately. And, you know, it's not necessarily the easiest question to answer unless you know the facts involved. But I would suggest if you're close to your full retirement age, which varies for each of us, mine is 67, yours could be, if you're a year older or 10 years older, you're already there. If you're a year older, you're not quite there. You've got about another year or so to go, maybe a year and a half even. Depends on when you were born in 1959. But I was a 1960 birth, and so 67 on my birthday is that full retirement mark. But, you know, if you really question whether or not we're going to fix the problem, I happen to think we're going to fix it at least for conceivably someone my age's lifetime. Now, I'll also tell you that, you know, if we don't fix it, the answer is already known as to what's going to happen statutorily. It's already been passed. There will be, depending on when it runs out, there will be a cut across the board, anybody that's receiving Social Security at that point will get a 23 to 25% haircut. Read that as a reduction when that day comes. That's what's going to happen. So if that bothers you, I'd suggest you start to send emails. You don't have to make it a letter, but I would continually send emails to your senator for the senators for Texas, if that's where you happen to be listening from. If you're in California, let's see who, I hate to even mention Adam Schiff's name, but Adam Schiff would be one of them. And trying to think who the other senator is out there. I try to avoid these kind of thoughts because I know they're not Democrat or they're not a member of the Republican Party. If you said the name, I'm sure I'd snap to it. But bottom line is, pummel your representatives of government with demands to fix Social Security and to quit borrowing from it. That would be the other thing. And but anyway, if you look at the usdebtclock.org, you will see that Medicare and Medicaid combined are the single biggest government budgetary item, $1.665 trillion. And then you'll notice that Social Security is close at almost a million or trillion and a half. And then the defense, interest is next at $1,044,000,000. $1.044 trillion, or what would that be? $1.04 trillion. And finally, defense is now in the fourth spot. That's the top. It's $880 million. That's the top, and that's the current amounts. This usdebtclock.org looks like a pinball machine with the way the numbers are increasing right before your eyes. And again, if you add our total debt to the current mandate, we're over. It's $101 trillion is what this debt clock shows. Almost $102 trillion. And if you want to know how much of that is yours, the amount of money on the $37 trillion, and that's the current mandate, where we're at this year, that's the part they admit to, that has risen now to the debt per taxpayer is $323,000 that theoretically each of us taxpayers are responsible for. The debt per citizen, that's every man, woman, and child, is over $100,000 now. It's $107,000. And it's just a crazy amount of money. So what do we do? I mentioned real estate private partnerships because I'm assuming you are like me, where you're going to want to pay your bills the rest of your life. And you're worried that, oh, if taxes go up and I've got pre-tax retirement accounts, be it a 401 or an IRA, I'm going to run out of money. It's the old $50,000 question. Will you outlive your money or will your money outlive you? You hope for the latter. The problem is we've got a longevity risk now because our life expectancy has increased so much, technology and other things. People are living longer, and even the IRS's life expectancy tables show that the average female is living to 87, 88 years old, excuse me. And the average male is expected to live to 85, 86. Well, if you're 55, that means you better have $2.5 to $3 million minimum in your pre-tax 401. That's probably light, depending on what inflation does, if we have another run-up in inflation that's anywhere near 20 to 25% again, you don't have enough money. And I would tell you that if you're in Roth, a Roth account, you might have enough. And that's what we seek to encourage you to do, but we do it in a certain order. We don't just run out and convert to Roth just because you can. We want to minimize the tax that gets paid. And let me clarify. I know I mentioned Roth conversions in some regard almost every week on the show. And I guess I want to make sure there's an understanding as to what a Roth is and why do we want to do it. A Roth, put simply, and I'm not going to get into the weeds on all the exceptions. I'm just going to tell you generally, a Roth account will not be subject to tax when you take money out. A pre-tax 401 or IRA that you got a deduction for when you made the contribution will be subjected to tax. In other words, we don't get to deduct it and then not pay tax on it when we take it out. So the Roth gives us the ability to draw a line in the sand. Oh, I guess I should ask, if you've got $3 million in your 401, as I mentioned a moment ago, how much do you think you're really going to get when the dust settles and you have to start taking your RMDs, your required minimum distributions, out of your Roth account? And if you think you still got $3 million, I'm going to encourage you to talk to your accountant. Hopefully, your accountant understands the answer to that question is probably half or less than half of that $3 million you're actually going to get to keep in your non-retirement plan spending projections, because you're going to give the other half or more, depending on what happens to tax rates. You're going to be letting the IRS keep that part. That's your private, your shadow partner, we might want to call them. And the goal, the way this game is played, retirement living, is trying to minimize the amount that you pay your silent partner. And the problem is, unless you do a Roth conversion, you don't understand, you have no way to know what percentage your private or your private partner is going to be, because you don't know what the tax rates are going to be when you're 65, 75, 85. I saw where the prisoner we had in Russia, I forget the gentleman's name, that Trump was successful in getting returned this week. His mom was 95 years old, and I heard her interviewed on Fox, and I swear when I was listening to it, I had no idea. This reminds me of an interview I saw with Marv Levy one time. Marv Levy was the coach of the Buffalo Bills, and I wasn't watching the screen, so I didn't see him. But he was incredibly coherent, and I was thinking as I was sitting here working with my back to the TV, wait a minute, Levy's got to be well into his 90s. How can he be that clairvoyant and clear? Just like this lady, this mom. The mom turned out to be 95 years old. That's insane. And you think she's passing away anytime soon? I don't. That's a long time to live and still have to pay your bills and other incidentals and maybe even some aspirational expenditures, like you want to send the grandkids to Disney every once in a while. That's a long time to live. Marv Levy, by the way, was 94, and this was about 4 years ago. I don't think he's passed, which means he's getting close to 100. That's amazing. And for those of you that think, well, you know, my $2 million or $3 million pre-tax money will suffice, I hate to burst your bubble, but I'm telling you, it likely won't unless we see a significant reduction and the cost of living. And should you need to incur long-term health care expenses, the answer becomes a shorter and shorter period. And by the way, over 50% of all American couples will incur, one or the other will incur, long-term health care costs. And having just been through that with one of my parents in the recent past, that's minimum a $7,000 to $8,000 monthly expenditure here in Texas, much more if you happen to be up north, northeast. But there's ways to provide for it, and but it all starts with cash. Either you got money in the bank already that's significant, or you got your money in assets that provide a cash flow that will get you there. And that's what most of my clients, or a lot of my clients, seek to do, because they come to me when they're in their mid-50s, early to mid-50s. They know they're behind the eight ball. And if we can assist their efforts in getting into real estate private partnership syndications that have above average cash flow, then you can address the need, not so much by the amount of your nest egg, but by the amount of cash flow that's coming into your nest egg every year. There's a big difference, and you should not fret that you won't be able to afford retirement once you understand that option. And that's critical for people that, for whatever reason, you don't have several million dollars already when you get to your late 50s, early 60s. You can still attain it, but you've got to get into some hard assets. And why do I say hard assets? Because hard assets like real estate, the value tends to increase along with inflation. It doesn't work the reverse. And so, you know, that's an asset class that bodes well. Let's do this. We've got about 15 minutes left. Let's go ahead and take our last break, and we'll circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Like the song, Bobby McGee. I'm just longing.
Big dreams and faded dreams. Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I have been talking about sad state of affairs with regard to our federal budget, but I've also been talking about the glimmer of hope that I think all of us should have now that we have some leaders in Washington that seemingly get it and understand what's going to have to happen, or at least they know a way to start the progress towards cutting the excesses on spending. I mean, let's face it, it's spending is the issue. It's not taxes per se, but that will be the response if the wrong folks are in charge. And I think Trump gets it when it comes to understanding we've got more than a few options to generate cash that can be used to pay down the debt that we currently have. And so we started talking about, you know, in our own individual circumstances, why we want to move our pre-tax retirement accounts to a Roth type account, whether it's IRA or a 401, a self-directed 401 is what I like to call it. And not everybody qualifies, but a lot of people do. And once they understand that the self-directed 401 is the single best vehicle to invest in real estate, period. And I'm talking about if you had money sitting in a money market account, free and clear from any entanglement other than the tax you're going to pay. That's the big one. And that's why I make this statement about the self-directed 401 trust is simply the best way to invest in real estate, regardless of where the funds are sitting now, if you qualify to roll them in to the self-directed 401. And why is that? Well, because we can avoid paying tax on the transaction forever. Any transaction that we invest in that 401 that's in passive real estate investment, like private partnership syndications of multifamily, that's the ones that we work with primarily, you won't pay tax. When that transaction exits and you receive your capital back, hopefully plus a gain, you will not owe tax at the 401 trust level. And so that's why we actively promote that vehicle over even the Roth IRA. Now, the Roth IRA has benefits as well. It's just you got to be on your game timing-wise to where when you have a transaction that nets a gain, you're coming right back with one in the same year that's going to generate losses again. We're hoping that the 2017 Jobs and Tax Cut Act, or Tax and Jobs Act, Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, I'm sorry, I'm renaming the acronyms, will be extended, some of those provisions, or emplaced entirely with more preferable or preferential treatment for real estate. But in any event, that would further seal the deal in terms of the 401 trust being a more desirable vehicle to have your retirement money in. For those of you that have enough money outside of your retirement, as long as you continue to qualify for the 401 trust, meaning you're still providing or producing some self-employment income, or you have your own company, et cetera, you can delay taking the RMDs as well. Whereas the IRA, the traditional IRA, will force you to take that. But the bigger issue is you will pay the unrelated debt financed income tax, whether you're, if you're any kind of IRA, whether it's Roth, non-Roth, traditional, inherited, if you invest those funds in real estate, private partnership syndications, you will pay the unrelated debt financed income tax. And unfortunately, the rates right now, hit the high mark at about 37% on simply $14,000 or so of taxable income. So it's not a high bar to hit, and that takes quite a chunk of your gain out in tax. And again, there's ways of avoiding it if we can time your exit of one transaction with your entry into a new transaction. We can minimize it. May not be able to avoid it, but with the self-directed 401 trust, it's exempt from the UDFI rules if it's a classic passive ownership position. So, and there's assorted other rules. I don't think it's a DIY strategy, but hey, if you think you can do it without stubbing your toe, it's a free country. You go right on ahead. But in any event, the reason, and again, I just want to be very clear, to do any Roth conversion, but especially the 401 trust variety, which is privileged among the retirement account options that you have for investing in real estate, is that you want to qualify to avoid tax for the rest of your life. And I hear other prognosticators talk about ripping the Band-Aid off and paying the tax now by taking your money out so you can be done with the man. Heard that many times. And they're not talking about the self-directed 401 trust that I am. They're talking about normal. At that point, it would be normal. What's left of it would be normal money market money. How many of you folks want to take $1 million and give it a $300,000 or $400,000 haircut so you can go invest in real estate? That's insane. And anybody that's telling you that should, one, have their head examined, and two, you should be worrying about what else they're telling you you're going to be able to do. Because it's just an insane proposition when you don't have to. You can achieve everything they're telling you. I know platform after platform that talks about financial, that'd be investor/mentor real estate platforms. I see platform after platform talk about achieving financial freedom. It's the magic buzzwords. You don't achieve financial freedom when you write a check to the IRS for 30 to 40%, not counting state taxes, if you're in the wrong state, i.e. any state, well, not any state, but Texas, but there's only 8 other ones, I believe, last count, that you can avoid paying a significant chunk of tax to achieve the 3-pronged outcomes for financial freedom. What are those? Well, you want to control your money. That would be, in their mind, that's getting it out of the 401. In my mind, if you could get your money market funds into a 401 trust, that's what you would want to do. That would be financial freedom in the true sense of the word, where you're, quote, getting rid of the man. That will do it. You'll never pay tax again once you qualify those funds. And there are some qualification periods of time that you have to achieve. There's a couple 5-year rules. But let me just say the headache is worth the pleasure down the road. But in any event, they talk about controlling your money. Well, the self-directed 401 trust absolutely allows you to control your money. And by the way, even after you convert your money, you can pull your money out of the Roth up to the amount of the principal that you've already paid tax on at any time without paying additional tax. Okay, so when I talk about controlling your money, you've got more control over your money within the 401. And I know this runs counter to what self-made millionaire and others tell you. It's because they don't understand the rules. They claim they do, and I've explained them to them firsthand. Hours of conversations, but for whatever reason they prefer, I believe it's because it provides the low-hanging funds to pay the membership fee to join. That's what I'm thinking to go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off so you can afford to join the program. I got a way you can do it with doing the 401 trust, and you won't have to pay tax on the money. Don't tell anybody. I'm afraid they might start calling me and asking me, the founders of these programs, because they have a very tangential and superficial understanding of the tax rules that let us avoid getting taxed on that money, except when we do the Roth conversion. And if we do it, if we correctly time it right, we get private company valuation discounts, significant discounts, to calculate the Roth conversion tax that we pay when we convert, to get that tax-free status forever. And I don't mean where you got to worry about timing your next acquisitions like the Roth IRA does. But the Roth IRA, again, does have value. But, you know, I just shake my head sometimes when I hear the amateur tax advice. As Red Adair used to say, the famous oil well firefighter, say that three times fast. He said, if you think the professionals are expensive, just try the amateurs. And I'm going to hearken that when it comes to tax advice, too. But in any event. Well, listen, we're coming to the end of the show. I appreciate you tuning in. Hope you enjoyed this discussion of Roth conversions once again. Something you absolutely should consider. Even if you're not going to do the real estate partnerships, you may want to consider it. But boy, do the planets align once you understand how the real estate private partnership syndication in the multifamily area particularly aligns with your long-term tax efficiency in terms of how much you'll get to keep versus putting in the IRS's pocket. We'll be back on Sunday, 7 a.m. It'll likely be one of our Be a Planner cyber shows. We're talking all things AI and preventing phishing and other hacks. So if you find that content interesting, I think you'll learn a lot, as I have, just by doing the show with my expert, Mr. AI Wynn. So give us a try at 7 a.m. and we'll talk to you then.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.